Phillips, and I am a pastor. I pastor in Mississippi. It's about a mile from Clinton, 3 miles from Raymond, 4 miles from Byram, and a couple of miles from Jackson at the crossroads of Western Hinds County, Spring Ridge Road, and Highway 18. I had a young man ask me a question the other day and wanted some scriptures for why we believe what we do on a particular subject. He is talking to someone who does not believe that the supernatural work of God is existent and working today in the church as it did in the Bible. So essentially, there are things that are in the Bible that ceased to exist. And that is called someone who believes in cessation, a doctrine of cessation. And often others, or they will call themselves a cessationist. And so for the next little bit, I am going to try to tell you what and explain to you this subject and if I am a cessationist. So this is a basic, simple definition. I looked it up on Google. I think it's pretty accurate. Cessationism is a doctrine that spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues, prophecy, and healing ceased with the apostolic age. The doctrine was developed in the Reformation and is particularly associated with the Calvinists. I think that it's correct to say that it began with the Calvinists, but there are many different denominations that hold to the fact that the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that Jesus spoke of that were coming and that the apostles participated in the Acts 2 with the Jews, Acts 8 with the Samaritans, Acts 10 with everyone else. And even Paul himself described himself as a benefactor and one that has been used in these supernatural gifts, and he even spoke of these and expected these with believers he met in Acts 19. So this is the definition of a cessationist, and my point today is to explore the principal idea of cessationist and why I am not a cessationist, and I believe that you should read your Bible and give ear to me. Maybe if you don't agree with me, you could listen to my reasoning and understand where others you will encounter, where they're coming from. It's a win-win, right? So the principal reason for cessationist denial of the continuation of the gift is their appeal to the closure of the canon of Scripture. That is the completion of the Bible. So they say that when we had the Bible as we have it today, then there was no longer need for the gifts. And so this is based in a scripture, and I want to just start out by saying that I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I want you to see that all scripture. All scripture. I believe that the whole canon is profitable for doctrine. And I believe that if we will look at the scripture within that appreciation that all the scripture is valid, I think that it will help us to have an appreciation for what the whole of scripture says. And the reason why I say that is sometimes people are kind of taught a particular belief and they're given like two scriptures. In this situation, there's one scripture. There's one scripture that says they use the scripture to say that gifts are no longer valid, or that speaking in tongues or prophecy or discerning of spirits or the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the gift of faith. They are saying those nine gifts ceased completely, gone. They're gone. Because we have the scripture. And I believe that they are misinterpreting, first of all, the scripture and its meaning, But let's just say the scripture actually means what they say it means. It's the only scripture. And to take one scripture to the isolation of all the other scriptures is an error in proper understanding of scripture. And I just kind of want to kind of hone in on that. The scripture, there's a principle, and it's found throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. This is the second time he comes, and he says, this is the second time, and he's saying, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word shall be established. And he is stating that I'm still teaching this, so you need to give special hearing because this is two witnesses. And I suggest to you that it's proper, not only in the writings of Paul, but we should look at the scripture in totality and recognize that we need more than one scripture to build a doctrine, to believe a certain doctrine or to discount other doctrines. So my first point, as a person that believes that the supernatural working of God in the church did not stop when we had a canon, a Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts of the Epistles of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, et cetera, all the way to the book of Revelation. I believe that in that New Testament, the things the Bible shows us in the believer, for the believer, how to live in it and walk in it, it is so important for us to understand and believe. This is still for us today. And I want to give you a biblical basis and not just my opinion or my experience. So my first point is that using that one scripture cancels out significant features of the New Testament experience. And it's a very weak case. My second point, this interpretation of perfection is incorrect. And I will show you what perfection Paul is speaking to. So that's going to be the basis. So what is the scriptural basis for cessationists? What scripture do they use? And this is the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The Bible says that the charity is perfect, and the gifts, prophecies fail, tongues shall cease, knowledge shall vanish away. For now we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So that's the scripture, tongue shall cease, prophecies shall fail, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So it is this context of scripture, and they're saying that this is saying it's going to stop. And I agree, there is the day coming when all those things will vanish away, they will pass, but it will be when that which is perfect is come. So I don't believe that which is perfect is come. So let's continue on. So I'm going to read the full context of this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face to my Bible. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. For now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So that's the full context. So 26 times in the New Testament, just speaking in tongues is mentioned, 26 times, tongues. If you include healing, casting out devils, prophecies, dreams, visions, There are over 300 mentions in the New Testament of the supernatural working of God in the believer's life in the New Testament. And their case, as the cessationists believe, that has all vanished away. Why? Because the Bible has come. I suggest that when you erase the role of the supernatural in the life of a believer that is in the New Testament, and you use one scripture, for example, that would mean that when Jesus said this in Mark 16, Jesus said of the believers, after he was crucified, after he was resurrected, he is about to ascend into heaven. It's the same setting where Matthew 28:19 is. Jesus said to the believers, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them who believe. Jesus said, if you believe, these are things that are going to follow you. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So casting out devils, speaking in tongues, dangerous situations such as serpents, illustrated by Paul in Acts, where he picked up a snake, the snake bit him, he didn't die. It's not purposeful taking up snakes, it's accidental taking up snakes. People pick them up on purpose. That's an example of using one scripture and ignoring the rest of the scripture. So the cessationists are not alone in taking one scripture and blowing it up and making particularly it's cheating people. For the snake handlers, it kills them. But for those that don't believe the supernatural, it robs them of so many glorious things. 18, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So Jesus said this is going to happen to believers, but they are canceling out this scripture because they said, well, this one scripture says when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So that's the verse. Everything hangs. The reason why that people don't speak in tongues today, the reason why people don't prophesy today, the reason why people don't lay hands on the sick and they recover today, the reason why all of the, there's the non-gifts, they totally went extinct and they are not available today because we have the Bible. But the scripture says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. That's a scripture. I believe it. What is perfect? The cessationists say it is the canon. Genesis, Exodus, all the way to Jude and Revelation. That is the canon. And that is perfect. I believe in the providence of God of preserving the Bible and giving it to us as we have it today. I absolutely believe that is a sovereign work of God. Thank God for the Bible. It is alive, it's spiritual, it's supernatural, it's how we know about God, it's how we know about eternity. I don't trust anyone else but the scripture. Heaven, when we get there, there are 12 foundations. And in 12 foundations are the names of the apostles. If you'll notice the names that aren't in the foundations of heaven, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, none of the Pope's names are in there unless they name themselves after the apostles. So heaven's built upon the foundation of the 12 apostles. In the New Testament, the scripture says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. So what does that mean? That means that the church, our structure, our belief, our doctrine must be built upon the Old Testament and the New Testament centered on Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That is where the church is built. And so they believe the canon is the perfect that this scripture speaking of. I believe in the canon. I believe that the scripture, the apostle, prophet, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone is what the church must be built upon. But in the scripture speaking of perfection, I believe it is speaking about Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, when we will see him face to face, when knowledge vanishes away, when there's no need for the gifts, because we'll be in eternity with heaven, in heaven with Jesus Christ and the saints, and hopefully you and I get to be there together, right? That's our hope. I'm going to make a point that perfection in this context of this scripture is not the canon. The Greek word perfect, telios, it means finished, complete, perfect. When that which is perfect, that which is complete, that which is finished. What is the finished, complete, perfect? It's when Jesus comes the second time. Perfect has not arrived yet. The word of God speaks to the second coming of Jesus, that the hope for perfection where the fullness is known in heaven. What does the Bible say when Jesus comes back? The Bible says, "Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Sounds like face to face, doesn't it? Sounds like knowledge, a better knowledge. We'll know that. We're going to know things that we don't know now. Does that sound familiar? What else does the Bible say when Jesus comes back? Romans 8:8. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." There's coming a day when all of the vagaries and the incompleteness and the struggle will be completed in Jesus Christ, in our redemption of salvation in heaven forever. What else does the Bible say when Jesus comes back? This is a prophetic foretelling of heaven. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." What else does the Bible say when Jesus comes back? The context and connection to the rest of Scripture demonstrates what perfection is. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So this discussion is in 1 Corinthians 13. And I suggest that those that believe the supernatural working of God ceased when the Bible was brought in, that the wrong in that, in the fact that they are canceling out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of biblical promise, of biblical instruction, of biblical encouragement, because they say this is over. They read over all this other stuff because it's not for today. And I suggest to you, it is for today. So just, you know, Paul says that which is in part, that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So if he's not talking about the canon, he's talking about the second coming of Jesus. Notice what he teaches on the next chapter. The next chapter doesn't apply if the supernatural working of God has ceased. I suggest to you, he had no intent to teach that there was going to come a day before heaven that the work of the supernatural was going to cease when we have the canon. I think that a little bit of study, one would come to that same conclusion. What did he write? If we are wrong on the interpretation of perfection and you and I are invalidating all of this scripture, how wrong can that be? Look, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. This is the next verse after the conclusion of 1 Corinthians 13. "Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." So when someone speaks in tongues, they're not speaking to other people. They are speaking to God. For he speaking in a tongue does not speak to men, but God, for one understands him. No one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It builds us up. Jude says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. There is this picture throughout the New Testament, that gift of the Holy Ghost, the rest, the peace, the empowerment that the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us. It edifies us. That's not selfish. That is the Holy Spirit building us up. But he who prophesies edification, he who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish, Paul, you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now, just a little side note, Paul makes a distinction in this teaching that there is a prayer tongue. You're praying, you're edifying yourself. If you keep reading, groanings that cannot be uttered, the Spirit prays through us, that there is the personal edification part, but then there is the public worship part. And if a person is praying in tongues to be heard by other people, there must be an interpretation. And if there's not an interpretation, they need to keep it to themselves. And I could, but that's not the purpose of this lesson. I'm not going to teach this whole thing. Amen. So I think the thing is that, you know, a lot of times we're trained, you know, I don't know how many people that I've met that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they don't tell anybody because their church doesn't believe in it. I have a neighbor, precious man. First time I met him about 20 years ago. He goes to a denominational church. They do not encourage the gifts, the speaking in tongues, the personal edification. So he would never speak in tongues at his church. But he said to me, first time I met him, he's an adult Bible teacher at one of these nice, big denominational churches. First thing he says to me when I tell him I'm Pentecostal, going to start a church, he said, I speak in tongues every day when I pray. But he doesn't do that at his church because it's not believed in. And I have met many, many people that have experienced this infilling of the Holy Ghost, and they can't tell anybody because it's a shame. It's a shame. Don't talk about it because we don't believe in that. But I suggest to you that this misapplication, this misinterpretation of perfection in this singular scripture has made so much of the scripture unavailable, unaccessible, because people are taught, we don't believe in that. And so the reason why more people haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, is because they've been taught not to believe the scripture, not to believe what the Bible says, but they've been taught by this one scripture that the rest of scripture is not available. And I would say to you that teaching to doubt what the Bible teaches, you can't get anything from God without faith. Everything in the kingdom of God works by faith. And if a person doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, they can't speak in tongues. However, there's a lot of people that even though they've been taught that speaking in tongues is not available for today, when they get to praying and calling on God and worshiping God in their own private time, they speak in tongues. I've seen people that didn't know anything, but they just came forward to pray and they just cried out to God and they didn't know nothing about nothing. And they started speaking in tongues. Why? Because the Lord still does it the way he did it. So I'm going to conclude this. I think I am at, I saw the time, 24 minutes. That's a miracle. So I heard this story just last week, and I believe the Lord let me hear this so that I could share it in this video. a pastor that pastors in Starkville, Mississippi. He told me, said there's a young man that just preached a huge youth convention, 40,000 people in the football stadium in St. Louis. Amazing, powerful. And this young man, he's not young to people that are in their teens, but he's young for somebody in their 50s. I'm in my 50s, so he's young to me. I don't know, he may be almost 40. Be that as it may. His name is James Wilson, and he is one of the most gifted songwriters, worship leaders, singers, and he preached at this North American Youth Convention. They actually were talking about it on the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, etc. It was an amazing thing. People all over the world came to this, and if they would have streamed it, people would have watched it all over the world, but they did not. So this pastor in Starkville said to me, he said, we're talking about people, you know, you meet people, you minister people, people move away, and you know, you don't see the results of your ministry oftentimes when you go out on Sunday morning, but the Lord keeps up with it. And so he said, do you know James Wilson? I was like, well, I don't know him personally, but he preached at North American Youth Convention. He said, yeah. He said, I won his father to the Lord. I taught him, prayed for him, and that kind of thing. He said, let me tell you the story. So this is the story, the way he told me that I can remember it. He said, one Sunday morning, a lady came to church, and she came forward for prayer. She was very nice, modest, black lady. And she just came forward to pray, and he prayed for her. And he noticed when he prayed for her, she spoke in tongues. But he didn't think nothing of it, because a lot of people that aren't, a member of a Pentecostal church speak in tongues. A lot of people. So he didn't think nothing about it. Well, later that day, he got a call from a man, and he said, hello, is this Pastor Childers? And Pastor Childers said, yes, sir. He said, my wife was there this morning. He said, yes, sir. He said, did you pray for my wife? And he said, yes, sir, I did pray for your wife. He said, did you lay hands on my wife's head? And he said, yes, sir, I laid hands on your wife. And he said, did she speak in tongues? And the pastor said, yes. Yes, she spoke in tongues. He said, we do not speak in tongues. Pastor Childers said, well, you probably need to talk to your wife, because I heard her today speak in tongues. He said, we don't speak in tongues. He said, well, if you have the Holy Ghost, you do. And the man said, can I come see you? And the pastor said, sure. So in a little bit, the man comes to the pastor's office, and they're sitting there. And the pastor says he just couldn't sit down. He's pacing in the office. He's, I love God. I love God. And the pastor says, I believe you love God. I believe you love God. He said, I got the Holy Ghost. He said, well, if you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't get the Holy Ghost like they did in the Bible. He said, but I love God. And he said, well, I believe you love God. He said, but I haven't spoken in tongues. He said, well, it's available. He said, he sat down and looked at him. He said, can I get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? And pastor said, yes, you can get the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. And he said, when? Pastor said, you come to church tonight and you will get the Holy Ghost. You will speak in tongues. So later that day, that night, the man came to church, and he, in the service, raised his hands, and he began to experience the glorious baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. but a man that said, we don't speak in tongues, a man that had been taught that tongues ceased with the apostles, in spite of all of that indoctrination, he raised his hands and he received the Holy Ghost just like they did in Acts 8, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. The same Holy Ghost that Paul instructs people how to be used in the gifts of tongues, the gift of prophecy. That same gift, even though people say it doesn't happen anymore because we have the Bible, it happens probably every moment of every day, of every day, of every week, of every week, of every month, of every month, of every year. Untold people are receiving the Holy Ghost right now. While you watch this video, somebody somewhere in the world receives something that some people say don't happen anymore. Why is it happening to them? Because they've not been taught to doubt what the Bible says about the supernatural. I want to encourage you that the Bible and its promise, even Jesus Christ himself said, in my name, Jesus said, in my name, you'll cast out devils, you'll speak with new tongues. Paul wrote to the church, said, forbid not the speaking of tongues. And so they take, sadly, people have been taught, taken one scripture and one word and misinterpreted it to explain why the supernatural doesn't work in their lives and in their churches. And I would say to you, this misunderstanding of a word, this misapplication of a scripture, has caused countless people to live below their privilege and miss out on the wonderful, powerful, edifying work of the Holy Ghost. If you're seeing this, I encourage you, take these scriptures up and read it for yourself. You read scriptures about what happens when Jesus comes back. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more strife. There'll be no more division. There'll be no more prejudice. Heaven, Jesus Christ taking us to his home, taking us to heaven. That is perfection. That is the perfection Paul was speaking of in 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect is that which is in part shall be done away. We see through a glass darkly, but then we will see Jesus face to face. Until then, we could pray when we don't know how to pray as we ought. We could pray and the Spirit maketh intercession through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When we pray, we could build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says we could pray in the Spirit. We pray with understanding also. I'm telling you, if you have been taught that this word perfection is speaking of the canon, I challenge you to pray and say, Jesus, if this is still for today, and if it's still for me, I want it. I want everything you've got for me. And I can tell you, I've experienced it for myself. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, when I was but 6 years old. I've seen every one of my children receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. My wife was raised in a denomination that still doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, and she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Her mother, raised in a denomination that doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, she received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. My father was raised in Church of Christ. He was definitely taught that speaking in tongues was no longer available for today, that God didn't do miracles, God doesn't do healing, and he experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The challenge is, we know God is still filling people with the Holy Ghost because it happened to me, and it happens to me, if not every day, almost every day. And I want to encourage you, this is not a denominational thing. It's a love for God thing. Do you love God enough to believe him and his word for everything? Are you hungry enough in a search for truth to recognize that this verse has been misinterpreted and it has stolen from countless people what is available to them by simply believing in the name of Jesus? Jesus said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Yes. So where are we at here in time? I don't know. This is the expectation of the apostles in Acts 10, the very first Gentiles that received the Holy Ghost. They did not understand that the Holy Ghost, the promise, the gospel was for the Gentiles. Peter has an amazing vision. He goes and preaches, and the Gentile tells him, Cornelius tells him, I saw an angel. He said, send for Peter. He'll tell you what you need to do. This is the conclusion of that. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So they identified the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look what happens in verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just as we have? How did they receive the Holy Ghost? Read Acts 2. They received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. And so they agreed, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And I believe that it's still for us today. And that's the reason why I believe the gifts of God, the supernatural working of God, did not cease when there was a canon. I believe the canon helps us understand the supernatural working of God. And if it happened in the book of Acts, it does happen today. Yes. Well, that's my ending. Hope you have a great day. God bless you.